Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello!
Hello!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Annabelle. Happy birthday to you for a few days ago.
Thank you. That's only the second time it's been sung to me this year.
When was the first?
Well, it wasn't until the very evening of my birthday, like almost before bed, when I realised I hadn't had the birthday song. And so I made Tom sing it to me and he was extremely reluctant. Like I almost had to force him.
Somebody has a selective memory.
What do you mean?
I sung happy birthday to you on your birthday.
You did not.
I did. And you said to me as we were FaceTiming,
no
one sung happy birthday to me.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I think that triggered it. I was like, right, I need to get Tom to sing that to me. Yeah, you're quite right. So that was the third time.
Yeah. I thought I'd make it as uncomfortable as possible when I called you.
No, I loved it.
So I said, okay, here's what I'd like to do. I would like to sing the birthday song to you.
Yeah.
So is that okay? And you're like, yeah, is that okay? So here goes. And I just feel like by not just start launching into it when you answer the phone, it made it weirder, which I quite enjoyed.
No, I like that you asked permission. Yeah, no, you're quite right. Sorry, I forgot about that. That was the third time. Mm. Three is quite a lot. Actually, I don't know why I'm complaining.
Although two were from me and the other one was under duress.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. I am allowed to complain, yes.
I wouldn't have sang that on the podcast a few years ago.
Oh, because you weren't allowed? What was the rules?
Yeah, it's not because I've just found my voice. I think it was a case that that song was still under copyright, which is why often in films you just hear them go, you,
yeah, and everybody,
yeah.
Never hear the full song.
Because it would cost a lot of money to use it, which I don't think it does anymore. Mm. If I'm mistaken about that, come after me.
Oh, dear.
Publishers of the birthday song.
Right.
Let's see what happens. No, but I feel that I got nothing to lose at this point.
Okay.
Maybe the ensuing publicity would defibrillate my career.
Right.
So, happy birthday to you. I put a little thing on Twitter.
Yes, quite the photos.
Found some old photos of you, people enjoyed, and lots of people wished you happy birthday.
It's lovely.
I just couldn't get a hold of you on the phone till the evening. I kept trying you. I was worried you were dead. Mm. That's why I did a tweet. It's a tweet.
Did ring you back a couple of times, but no answer. Anyway.
Had a busy day of it on Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. But you had a lovely day, did you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Lovely.
What did you do to treat yourself?
I had an Indian takeaway in the evening.
Oh, what did you have?
I had something with chickpeas and spinach and ginger.
Oh, interesting.
But rice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Some kind of Saag Chana thing.
Chana masala or something. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm, lovely. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Mm.
Did you say you got papadums or not?
Papadums.
All the chutneys?
Just mango.
Just mango. You don't want to be excessive.
No, not on
it's
your
not
birthday.
A birthday with a zero at the end, is it?
No.
I went for an Indian meal this week with Sarah. There's this place I really love called Rams, which is a schlep for me to get to. It's in Harrow and it's very unassuming as a place. It's the first time I've been since the lockdown. They've had a big makeover. I'm trying to think which of the changing rooms hosts of old it most looks like they've had at it. Probably Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
Oh, okay.
Although it's difficult to describe. It was a somewhat tatty Indian cafe, and now it feels like, I don't know, like some kind of luxury sauna come selling tanon in tanning salon in 1993.
Okay.
I got there before Sarah. The waiter came over. He said, "Can I get you a drink?" I thought, "Yes, you can. I'm in an Indian restaurant. Do you know what I'd like? A Nimbu Pani."
I don't know what that is.
Only one of the most famous soft drinks you can have in India.
Okay.
You'd really like it. It's citrusy, I think lime or lemon. And then I think there's some spice in it that you can have it sweet or salty or fizzy or flat. It's okay. Really good. So thinking, I would like one of these. So I said to the guy, "I'd like a Nimbu Pani, please." He says, "I'm sorry."
Oh.
I say, I'm right in remembering that you do a Nimbu Pani here, because I'm convinced I've had one there in the past.
Right.
He then says, "It depends."
It depends on what?
Well, here's what I think happened. I think either there was something about the way I was saying Nimbu Pani that the penny wasn't dropping with him.
Right.
Or the pani wasn't. Or perhaps, because this restaurant is specific to Gujarat, which is one part of India, maybe it's called something different there, or that drink isn't from that state.
Okay.
So it's possible that I'm getting confused and that they never did that there to begin with.
Okay.
And it's just not an instantly recognisable phrase to him.
Mm.
But because he's already said, "I'm sorry," you know, it's embarrassing when you ask somebody to repeat something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He then doesn't want me to repeat it again. So I think what he was trying to do was buy himself some time by saying, it depends. But just think of me, from my point of view, I'm then sitting there thinking, I wonder what it depends on.
Yeah.
Like, what do I now have to do? Is there a password? Do I have to slip him a backhander? I mean, what could it possibly depend on?
None of those things, I assume. You didn't try and slip him a £50 note, did you?
No, I said it a third time and then he said, "We don't do that."
Oh,
here.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm glad it got sorted out.
Just the utter panic of the "it depends."
That's very sweet.
So that was that. But that's not... That's just a minor driftery thing that happened to me this week.
Oh, okay. There's more.
I have big news.
Oh, right.
I have been tweeted at.
Yes.
By.
Yes.
Oti Mabusi.
Oh, you're in love with her, aren't you?
Yes, but in a very pure-hearted way.
Yes, I know. Now, she's a dancer from Strictly Come Dancing. I'm right on that.
But she's left Strictly.
She's left. I saw it in the news and I thought of you straight away.
Yes.
So why did she tweet you?
Because I hosted Radio 4's Pick of the Week this week.
Yeah.
Which is a selection of things that had been broadcast on BBC Radio in the previous 7 days. And she was a guest on the programme Desert Island Discs.
Ah.
And I very much liked hearing her.
Mm.
I also... You've got to write a script and you've got to link it all together. I gave it the loose theme of trying to find joy in a bleak week because the news was really depressing with Ukraine and so on.
Yeah.
So I thought I get a lot of joy from Oti Mabusi.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'm going to write a script that includes this. And that's what I did. And it was very pure-hearted.
Right.
I didn't mention that seeing Oti Mabusi in a Debbie Harry wig, right, like dressed up as Debbie Harry, stirred up something inside of me that I don't know. If I really examine myself, I'm not sure how pure that was.
Okay, well,
but generally,
well done.
And especially over time, I feel that if anything, my love for Oti Mabusi has become more pure, and I only think of her in a very wholesome way.
Okay, good.
Untainted by any unpleasant urges that outfit might have stirred up.
Yes.
Albeit briefly.
Good.
I think that was an aberration. And I think it's a much, just as I say, a much more wholesome.
We've got it. We've got it.
So Excuse me. Nope. So I don't mention the Debbie Harry thing in the script. I do mention the joy I find in her. And then the second lockdown, having never really been a Strictly viewer, I switched it on. I see her dancing with Bill Bailey. And I think, oh, this is just wonderful. This is what I need in these bleak times. And now she's back in another bleak week on Desert Island Discs to make her hearts all sing again, is the gist of what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I eulogize her a little bit. I talk about the fact that I am... Sometimes when I'm at home on my own, I potter around the house singing Oti Mabusi to the tune of Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
When this goes out the next day, I'd like tweet a link to the program so people can listen to it, and I tag all the clips that are in it. And then an hour later, Oti Mabusi does a tweet saying, thank you, Jeff Lloyd, I really enjoyed this. So now she knows.
She knows your name. She knows who you are. She knows my name.
And she knows that I walk around my house singing her name to the tune of Oti Mabusi.
This is incredible.
Oh.
What happens next?
Nothing. Because
right.
I don't want anything to happen next.
No.
Because I am different to those middle-aged dads who switch on, like modern-day versions of those middle-aged dads who used to switch on to see Mad Lizzie or...
I wondered who you were trying to distance yourself from. from that person, okay.
Yeah. I'm not that guy.
No.
I also featured in Rag and Bone Man's Instagram story.
You didn't? Yeah. Instagram story, really?
Yeah. It's all happened for me this week.
Wow, busy.
Yeah. I think I got 3 new Twitter followers out of it. So things are really, things are really on the up.
Woo.
I often say that hearing from drifters is the highlight of the podcast for me, but I think I have set the bar pretty high there with the story of a waiter mishearing me and being tweeted at by Oti Mabusi. So let's see what they've got.
Okay, first one is from Wise Lady Dominica, and it is a compilation of all the times I have fallen over this year. Walking through Sydney on the way to see Hamilton, chatting away when my ankle gives way and I go skidding down the not at all steep hill. I am dressed for a fancy night out. My actions were not fancy. Amazed my dress didn't go over my head, and unfortunately I ripped my tights and ruined my shoes. Leaving my friend's house in the early
hang
hours.
On. Can I just say?
Yep.
Was anyone else in the room where it happened? I don't want Lin-Manuel Miranda coming after us.
Oh.
The birthday ladies are one thing.
Right.
R.I.P. but...
Okay.
Maybe not Lin-Manuel. Sorry, do go on.
Leaving my friend's house in the early hours of the morning, I decided to wait until I was outside before putting my boots on. Laziness dictated that I wasn't going to zip them up for the 20-metre walk to my car. As I sauntered over the timber walkway, my shoes slipped on the timber, wet with morning dew, and in under a tenth of a second, I was simultaneously on my knees and on my chest. I landed so hard, I thought I broke my kneecap. My boobs, which were bra-free, punched me in the face. My friend has a Ring doorbell that records everything. I'm lucky she likes me enough that she didn't post the footage to social media. Walking to my car from work, looking down at my phone so I don't notice the uneven ground. I go flying and manage to kick my own bum on the way down. The people who live across the street from my work happen to be outside washing their car. Why it takes 3 people to wash one car is beyond me, and not one single one of them called out to see if I was okay or ran over to help me up. I work near a hospital and on a main road. Plenty of people saw me. A paramedic was driving by and they stopped and looked as though they were about to get out when I dragged myself up and hobbled to my car in shame. Less than a week later, I had just made myself a coffee at work in my amazing Tier 1 coffee mug. As I was approaching the front desk, my ankle once again gave way under me and down I went, coffee and all. 3 people in reception saw me go down. One swears she saw the contents of my mug go flying up as I disappeared beneath the desk. There was lots of cleaning up and I broke our payment terminal as the majority of my coffee landed on it. And this all occurred about 5 minutes before I was meeting a new receptionist that was coming in for me to train. I forgot to send this email. And guess what? I've fallen over again. Was taking the dogs for a walk and one of them got under my feet and down I went on a busy street.
Why is falling over so embarrassing?
It's so embarrassing.
I'll tell you why I think it might be. Because... human beings evolved to walk on 2 legs,
right?
But some of us didn't quite make it.
And it's that loss of control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, next one.
Yeah.
This is from Anon, and I'd like to warn you that it features adult content.
Great.
So turn off if you're a child or with a child. A few weeks ago, my partner and I had some friends around for the evening. Considering my drifterish ineptitude for socialising, the evening had actually turned out to be a great success, with my partner preparing some culinary delights, whilst in return, I deliberated over the background music being broadcast through our Bluetooth speaker. Later in the evening, tired by my exertions of hosting, I excused myself and headed to bed. It was clear that my partner wasn't coming to bed soon, and the privacy led to certain urges that are best left undescribed, and I began to search the internet for an appropriate video.
I think we could have just, source of inspiration would have been fine. We didn't need to know it was a video.
Okay. We do. Oh. The first video was fine, but unfortunately it seemed to have no sound, so I quickly switched to another. The second video also appeared to have no sound, and turning my phone up fully only resulted in a quiet, distant audio. Puzzled, I paused the video, and it was only then that I realised the sudden quiet from downstairs, where the sound of chatting seemed to have faltered, and my carefully selected backing music had ceased.
Oh no.
It was now that I realised my catastrophic mistake. Oh, no. Quickly switching off my Bluetooth connection, I revisited the two videos. Both had functioning audio now, and both of the audios made the nature of the videos completely unambiguous. Replaying the last minute and a half now from the point of view of my partner and guest downstairs, I fully realised the true horror of the situation. After my departure earlier, the Bluetooth speaker would have continued to play music from my phone, only to abruptly stop, replaced with no explanation by the distinctive sound of a blue movie. Most probably alarmed by this, the guests would have been relieved when this stopped a few seconds later, but then bewildered when a similar set of noises recommenced, only to become louder as the inept user increased the volume. I was mortified and spent most of the night wide awake, replaying the moment in excruciating detail. It was made worse that the guests were staying the night.
Oh no.
But I'm happy to report that all parties adopted the port protocol.
Oh, thank God for that.
Including my partner. Amazing.
Has it been, I need to know, has it been discussed since?
No, it hasn't. Port protocol. Some things can never be mentioned. That's how I feel about that.
It must never be spoken of.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I think in that situation, I just would never come out of that room again.
That's just where you'd live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can beat, you see, maybe I didn't set the bar that high. After all, both of those were really something. Wow. Send us yours, please. hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle.
Yes.
I am ready for another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
So I got a text message recently from the government.
Did it say they were suckers?
No idea what you're talking about.
I got a message from the government the other day. I opened it and it said they were suckers.
Still don't know what you're talking about.
Really? That wasn't instantly recognisable as public enemy?
Nope.
I'm really playing fast and loose with copyright here.
You are. I've got to be careful.
Yeah, I know. I know.
What a week that would be. Happy birthday and Public Enemy together.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yes.
Let us not forget.
What a combo.
Yes, yes.
So, no, it didn't say suckers. I was initially very excited, though, because I thought it might be my finally long-awaited call-up to be a spook. And then I really panicked as it was more likely to be about their concerns about the amount of lateral flow tests that I've been ordering. Nobody say stockpiling, just ordering. But what it was actually about was my passport, because it needs to be renewed soon. And I really depressed myself because my first thought was, oh, should I bother? I've not been abroad since 2019. And then I cheered myself up by thinking, well, I'd better get it done because what if I get offered a job in Hawaii? I wouldn't be able to go. Not sure what the job would be exactly, but I'd like to be prepared for all eventualities. So I decided that I will sort my passport out. And part of my reluctance was also the price, because it's £75.50. And I'd quite like a refund on a third of my last decade's passport. It's the only time I've used it, really, is to take for ID for a PCR test, like the email says. And even then, nobody asked to see it. Part of it's a vague irritation at the word passport. It's like it's a document for passing the port. Well, let's call it passport. Like, we don't call driving licenses drive car or a credit card spend money. Part of it is the feeling that my life is slipping away. I'm onto my fourth passport. That's how old I am. 4 decades of international travel without my parents. Because, you know, like, kids don't get to be on their parents' passport anymore, do they?
No.
Like, yeah, it's changed, sadly. Mm. Yeah. Another part is my reluctance to do with the photo situation. Mm. Because nobody has a good passport photo. But my photo for my passport aged 36 to 46 was, if I do say so myself, it was okay. Whereas the one before, the age 26 to 36, it was like right before I'd had it taken, I'd slipped into a parallel universe where I'd been a heroin addict with 12 children. Like, haggard is too mild a word. I think I'd been out the night before and I wasn't in a great place sleep-wise. So I was actually quite happy to move on from that photo. But I know I'm not going to beat the more recent okay one. And I've just turned 47. I'm feeling a bit more aware of my age right now. And for me, the biggest problem is that you're not allowed to smile in passport photos. Mm. Like, why not? I looked it up and it says it's because it distorts your facial features. And I think, I know, it lifts up my aging, saggy bits of my face. That's the whole point of it. My own mother said to me a few years ago, she said, Annabelle, don't leave your face in repose because it's not attractive on you. And it's just, she's true, it's right. I was once walking down the street and I was feeling really happy. I was having a really good day and a builder said, cheer up, love, it might never happen. They do that less now. But only because it's out of fashion. Like, my resting face is still sad and bad. And that's my biggest problem. But the biggest question is, why am I so vain about a passport photo that's seen by approximately 3 immigration officers who are looking at passport photos all day? Why does it matter? So I knew I had to do the photo this morning. But the good news is that you're allowed to do a digital one yourself now. You don't have to go to that booth anymore. So I put on a load of makeup. I made Tom, who's a videographer, I made him get all his lights out and this big reflector thing. And I made him take the photo. And he did. And I looked at it. And honestly, it was so bad. And it wasn't just bad, but my head was tilted to one side, which is weird as I hadn't tilted it. And I checked the regulations. While it doesn't say tilts aren't allowed, I'm pretty sure that cocked heads are frowned upon in passport photos. So I make Tom do it again, look at the photo, my head is tilted again. So I tell Tom, tell me to move my head until you can see with your eyes that it's definitely straight. So he's telling me, bit more. And I'm angling it. It feels like I'm angling it left towards my left shoulder more and more until it feels weird. And then he takes my photo and I look at it and my head is straight. I've gone wonky with age and I didn't even know. So basically, I've decided I'm not going to go abroad again because I need all my money to de-wonk myself and have jowl removal.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a dilemma I've got. I'm supposed to be going to a funeral on Friday, if I can logistically make it work. I was last at a funeral, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
On the train on the way back, I ripped the pocket of my funeral trousers.
Oh, so they've got a hole in them now.
But it's not just that the pocket has got a hole in it. I could live with that. It's that the side of the trouser, the seam of the trouser was ripped. So I foresaw that could be an issue in the future, and I took them to a tailor to be repaired.
Okay.
But then I got really lax and thought I can just leave them at the tailor and then I'll pick them up at some point in the future.
Mm.
So today I texted the tailor and he didn't reply. I then called him and it was an international ringtone.
Oh, no.
So how can I go to a funeral if my funeral trousers are in for repair?
Could you break into the tailor's house? I mean, I suppose that's illegal, but...
Illegal, impractical.
Impractical, yeah. It was just a suggestion, yeah.
What would you do?
Gosh, I think you'd have to buy some more. There's no other alternative.
But the trousers match with the suit jacket.
Oh.
So I can't buy a new suit.
Could you ask him to come back from holiday? No, of course not. Gosh.
I don't know what to
do.
What
are you going to eat?
I don't know what... I genuinely don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, there are no answers to this. You have just have to buy some more.
I can't go to a funeral inappropriately attired.
Just in a jacket and no bottom half, no?
No, that's very much frowned upon, isn't it?
Extremely, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing's fine on the news when they can't see your bottom half. But not at a funeral.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't help. I've had this amazing idea for you. Sorry.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, okay. Mm. What else did I have to tell you about here? Oh, I went to the little shop earlier on. And by little shop, I mean one of those little shops that's independent, local shop, selling cards, a few knickknacks, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How big are those shops typically?
Not big.
About as big as this room, maybe?
Probably not big.
So I walk in. As I walk in, the woman behind the counter at the other end looks up and says, "Just to let you know, we're closing in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, even if I came into the shop and picked everything, every item in here up individually and scrutinized it, maybe with one of those little jeweler's eyeglasses, I still don't think I could fill 10 minutes.
Right, right.
Why are you telling me that?
Yeah. There was no. She was desperate to go home. She was like, do not waste my time.
Oh, I know that. When I used to work in a shop, there's nothing worse than somebody coming in just as you're about to close.
Mm-mm.
But I think 10 minutes in a shop, this isn't a supermarket where you need to say the store will be closing in 30 minutes. Like you could easily do a once around in less than a minute.
Did you still buy something?
Yeah, I did. And I really dragged it out. Got into this game of brinksmanship with her.
15 minutes, you finished it.
Yeah. So that was that. And then as I left there, I was walking down the street and I bumped into one of the mums of a kid Jean goes to school with. And you know me, I don't know what people are saying to each other when they bump into each other in the street, and I don't know what the small talk is. So what I've come to rely on is asking lots of questions and showing a lot of enthusiasm.
Okay, good technique.
So I happen to know, because I talked to her last week, that she'd had her in-laws coming to stay for the weekend. So I was like, how was it with the in-laws? She tells me that they went to a museum that I've never been to. I say, I've never been there. What's it like? And she tells me she is extremely enthusiastic. She thought this museum was wonderful. I'm saying, oh, wow, how long does it take to get there? And is it good for kids? You know, so I've got all my questions. But then, so that I'm not just grilling her with questions, I'm interspersing it with enthusiasm. So I'm saying, oh, it sounds amazing. This sounds great. Oh, I think we're going to go. We'll have to go there. I'm going to put that right at the top of the list of places to go. Now, here's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go there.
Right.
It's in the opposite direction that I like to go in.
Right.
It's not in a part of town that I care to frequent.
Mm-hmm.
The items that she described, whilst undoubtedly impressive,
mm-hmm,
not particularly to my taste.
Right.
But I feel like I've now got myself in the situation where I was so enthusiastic,
mm-mm,
about the fact that I'm going to go there. Almost, I don't think I quite said, oh, I'm going to go now. But I might as well have done.
Right, you weren't far off saying that, yeah.
So now I've put myself in this position where the next time I see her, she'll say, oh, so did you go?
Oh, no. You have to make excuses or just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've put myself in a position where I have to go to a museum in a place that I don't want to go to. Or I keep having to come up with ever more elaborate lies as to why I haven't been yet before both of us silently acknowledging the fact that I was never going to, that I was just.
Here's so, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to go to this museum, you're going to hate it, but you're going to come back and see her again and you're going to gush. And she's going to then suggest somewhere similar. And it's going to go on that way every weekend for the rest of your life.
Or more likely, this always happens to me, I'll make a point of going even though I don't want to,
yeah,
have a bunch of things to say. Mm. And it was such an insignificant conversation to her that she will forget that she ever mentioned it.
Yeah, it's going to be that. Yeah.
Swandery Corner at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic. Annabelle, from whom is the first one?
The first one is from Karen from Germany. This is about something that happened at my aunt's birthday party. I was not there myself, but when she told me the story, I was surprised how she handled the situation. Could you please tell me if she was correct, or should she and some of the other guests have done something differently? It's a little bit COVID related, but I think that a similar situation could happen without a pandemic. In Germany, we still have some COVID restrictions. For example, to go to a restaurant, you have to show a certificate that you are fully vaccinated. The certificate is on your smartphone. And your passport or identity card to prove that you are the person named in the certificate. A few weeks ago, my aunt invited some of her friends to a restaurant to celebrate her birthday. One of her friends had forgotten his identity card and therefore he could not enter the restaurant. He had to take a taxi to go back home and get it. This took him about an hour. In the meantime, the rest of the group did wait for him. They ordered drinks but no food. And this is my question. Were they correct to wait? Some of them were really hungry and started to eat all the bread on the table that is complimentary. Others got...
Oh, no, you don't want to fill up on bread,
no,
do you?
No, no. Others got a little bit drunk while waiting and drinking without any food. Should my aunt have told them to start ordering, or should the guy who had to drive home have given his okay for them to start without him, or his wife, who was with the rest of the hungry group? What would be the correct way to handle this situation?
But I think screw him.
His fault.
Yeah.
But like, could you get onto the mains without him? Oh no, this is what he should have done. He should have looked on his phone, the menu, ordered, and still the food might have come and he wouldn't have got back in time. If I was him, I'd say, you guys get started with some starters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well.
If you can wait for me for the mains, that's fine. If not, don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
The onus is on him to say.
Yes.
You can't say, look, we're going to eat without
you.
No,
it speaks very well of this group of people, I think.
That they did wait.
Yeah. But I just feel rage towards
him. The rule is that the person who has to leave has to be the one that says, you go ahead without me. And that's what they have to say.
Yeah, there's some kind of, I'm grasping for what the analogy is, but I've been thinking a lot about bus drivers recently.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there are definitely bus drivers who, if they see you running for a bus that is about to leave, or maybe is just pulling out, they take actual pleasure in not letting you on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a certain personality type that I can feel enraged by. But there's a wider principle that one person who wasn't at the bus stop in time shouldn't then mean that the 40 or 60 other people on the bus should suffer.
Yeah.
And I think there's some kind of parallel. I don't think it's right that they're... I don't think it's right that one person should be ruining it for the rest of them.
No. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. And it's nice for us to wait for him, but it's up
lovely,
to that person
but too,
to
too
say...
much, too much. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I feel that sorted.
Yeah.
Right, let's
he should have been very emphatic.
But he should have been. This is from Joe. I've been meaning to send this in quandary for some time, but what with the pandemonium keeping people in their own houses, it's been less of a priority. However, hearing about Jeff's mother-in-law bemoaning the quality of his guest towels last week, the issue has really been brought to the fore. What is the consensus on guest towels, please? I always provide a towel for my visitors, and I never take a towel with me if I visit a friend. I do find, however, some visitors, e.g. my in-laws, bring their own towels. I think they do this out of politeness rather than avoiding using mine, and I always feel slightly insulted to find my towels untouched. Should I be taking towels with me when I visit people? Is it rude to use your own towel? Or are you saving your host from having to wash the towel you've befouled? I need help, please. Towels are a bulky item to pack. We need a firm rule. Can I say how I feel?
Mm.
If somebody comes to stay with me and they bring their own towel, I feel thrilled because less washing for me to do. But I have never taken a towel to someone else's house.
I just think, how much of a difference? You have to put, what, one, two extra things in the washing machine?
Thing is, we've only got three towels, so it's a bit like the rotor is a bit disrupted.
Because we've definitely got A-list towels and B-list towels.
Oh, have you?
And the guests get the B-list
oh,
towels.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the A-list and the B-list?
Just not as the shop they're from isn't as nice.
Right. No wonder your mother-in-law's complaining then.
It's still a sore point.
Right.
I think just giving a guest the one towel is a bit stingy, though. I think guests should have two towels.
No.
I hate one towel.
So you mean a hand towel and a body towel?
What I want is a big beach-sized towel to wrap around myself and then a regular bath towel to go around my head.
No, you mean a hand towel.
No, I don't.
You mean a regular-sized towel?
Yeah. I want a beach towel and a regular size towel.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was in my house, there wouldn't be any towels left if you had those. There'd be a hand towel
then
left.
I think you shouldn't be receiving guests. I think it's poor
etiquette.
Is that
honestly what you want? You want two towels?
Yeah,
where are you even going to dry those when they're wet?
I don't know.
I don't know, not my problem. Have you ever taken towels to someone's house?
No.
Never.
No, I think that is a strange thing to expect of somebody.
Yeah.
But I also think like one towel isn't enough.
One towel? What if I gave you just a normal sized towel, not the one of the massive ones? They've got a different name, haven't they? Like there's a bath towel. I've forgotten what it's called. Anyway, I give you a normal sized towel and a hand towel to wrap around your head. You're going to feel a bit...
No, I'd be fine. I wouldn't feel like I was really getting a decent level of hospitality. But I wouldn't be
bitching about me by my back.
On FaceTime.
But what if I just
in earshot.
What if I just gave you one towel?
Then I'd be on the FaceTime, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay, this is good to know.
Yeah. But I'd do it out of earshot.
Right, good. Yeah. Okay, that makes me feel better. So we've solved that then?
I believe so,
great,
yeah.
Great, good.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner or a story of awkwardness, please send it to us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. Carla Gowlett took the photos. And I will leave you to tend to certain urges that are best left undescribed. Podication time, and this comes from Lucy Adams et al., who says, "Hello, Annabelle and Jeff.
Hello.
Hello. Hope you're both keeping well. I'm a long-term listener and fairly frequent emailer. I would be delighted if you were able to do a little podication for my son, Nathan David George Adams." That's a lot of solid names.
Very good.
"Who turns 13 on the 19th of March. If it's possible to do it on the 16th so I can play it to him on his birthday, that would be amazing."
Consider it done.
I can think of fewer things that would be more impressive to a 13-year-old.
Oh, well, no.
"You read out a podication for my eldest, Sophie, in October, and it made them cry happy tears. Mm. Nate gasped, "You're famous." So I'd like Nate to feel that he too is famous.
Nobody tell him the truth.
Nate is a lovely boy. He is sensational at art and great at basketball. He's best friends with our wee cat Zaza. That's nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I love an animal human friendship. It'd be like a friendship forged between a child and animal.
Right.
As that, you know, they grow up with an animal and the friendship that is forged is a beautiful thing to me. I need to give Jean that at some stage.
Well, if you want to witness it not happening, then I'll introduce you to Rudy and Rusty. Rusty just lives in fear of Rudy.
Like Sophie and I, he's also a bit drifterish and hates having to talk to people or order things. Oh, it's the worst, Nathan.
Yeah, you're not alone there.
He will get there. I'd like to wish Nathan the happiest of birthdays after 3 years of being scunnered by COVID.
Oh, yeah, March. Like, yeah.
Awful.
End of March, mid-March birthdays. A lot of those have been ruined.
I like scunnered.
Good word.
Yeah. Thank you, love, Lucy, Sophie, and Zaza the cat. Do you know what I really love?
Mm-hmm.
Having my fingers licked by a cat.
I didn't know that about you.
I really love it.
Didn't know that.
More of a dog person, but I like the sandpaper-like quality that a cat's tongue has.
Okay. I do not like that. But at the same time, you don't like unfinished wood.
I don't know. It's weird, isn't
That's
it?
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're a strange person.
I like I like a cat's purr.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't like that?
I really like it when a cat is about to settle down on you and it does the little padding with its feet.
Yeah, sort of
circling a little bit. Sarah's a bit allergic to cats, so we'll never have one. But when I was growing up, we had dogs, cats.
Did you?
A fish.
Didn't know about cats.
Yeah. Fluffy.
Nice name.
And Patch.
Patch, nice.
Yeah. I'd like a cat. Maybe if Sarah leaves me.
Get a cat.
Yeah. And then I'll send Jean back to her and a new man.
While you have your fingers licked all night.
Yeah. No, I mean like covered in cat hair and then
sneezing. Oh, I see. Yeah, that good revenge. Love it. Great. Got that planned. Brilliant.
I like in that scenario, I just assume that I've been cuckolded.
And that you haven't got full custody.
She'd probably like take him to the States. She'd probably move back to the States. Then I'd have to, would I then have to follow, but I'd live in a trailer. Would I live in a trailer? What would I do?
Let's not think it through too far.
People who live in trailers, like they do jobs where they're good with their hands, usually from what I've gleaned from shows on TV. What if you're like me and you've got no skills? Would the trailer community be accepting of me? Maybe. I don't know. You don't think they would?
No. I'm just wondering if you can have a cat in a trailer, but I'm sure you can. That's my main
concern.
Don't
deprive me of the cat.
No, exactly. That's my main concern, that you still get to have
the cat. In my version of this, because I can't work and because I don't have any skills to either get a job or I'm not useful to, like, the criminal underworld, I'm not useful in any way. I'm sort of destitute. I haven't got a TV. I haven't got the internet. Burning stuff in an oil can. I don't know where I'm finding this. Maybe I'm scavenging. And it's just me and the cat, and it's licking my fingers, and that's how I'm passing the days before I'm allowed to see my son.
Okay.
Also, the man who's cuckolded me, he's living in one of those big, they're living in one of those big houses like in John Hughes films.
Yeah, I saw him like very wealthy in a suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can't drive. And by this stage, you know, the fact that I'm living in a trailer but with no economic agency, like a lot of other things have gone south for me. I mean, they're already going south, but like my beard is raggedy, I'm wearing raggedy clothes, this cat lifts up my shoulder all the time.
Oh, God.
And I have to suffer the humiliation of walking barefoot to pick Jean up from this mansion that looks like the house from Home Alone or something.
You're walking barefoot, are you?
Where am I getting to? Maybe I've got cardboard shoes. I don't know.
Yeah, you've strapped on some cardboard.
I have to fish for shoes. You don't really see that anymore, do you? People catching tatty boots on a fishing line.
I don't think they're fishing like they're fishing for shoes. I just think it's the fishing and a boot like comes up. I don't think anyone was ever going, oh, I need some new shoes, I'll go fishing.
No, but I would be.
Oh, I see. Right.
Someone, you know,
oh, you'd be lucky
I don't wish any harm to the fish. Rough, I mean, the cat might have a different view of it.
Oh. Anyway. I'm very submerged in this life of yours. Let's pull ourselves away for a moment and go back to...
I think it's coming.
The podication.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthday, Nate. Nathan. Wonder what he prefers. I think I would just by default prefer whichever one my parents didn't call me.
Oh. Natty. It's nice, isn't it?
Maybe he's a natty dresser.
Maybe.
That's something only a parent would say, isn't it?
Right.
Oh, you're a natty dresser. Mm. You are with it.
He's probably never even heard that expression before.
No. Oh. Yeah, Lucy doesn't seem the type to be using the expression natty dresser.
No, she says scunnered.
Yeah. All right. Latest edition of the podcast, podicated to Nathan Adams. Nathan D.G. Adams. If you would like a podication, you can email us. Happy birthday, Nathan. If you'd like a podication, you can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.